All right, so our goal tonight is to cover one of the most complex and involved areas of Jewish law, which can take many months of in-depth study in just a few brief moments. That's our goal. Our goal is not to tell anybody what to do. Everybody here already has a practice. Our goal is to explore some of the principles and the various opinions that are involved in this arena, this area of halacha, which is very complicated, and there are many different opinions. So I'm not here to present one opinion or one definitive ruling. Everybody should follow what their Mor Horah, their rabbi, their halachic guidance dictates for them. But I think it's important that we become more educated about the principles that are at play in this area of halacha, which is extremely practical, so that when we see things or do things, we can understand them better. And we can make decisions, more informed decisions, about this area of halacha, which the topic we're focusing on tonight is heating food on Shabbos. And this is the first of a three-part winter series, and no doubt the winter has not scared everybody for coming out tonight. A special thank you to Emma for leading our Neely effort and organizing this and all the shiurim. So for those who have not met her yet, this is afterwards is a good opportunity. Always, she signs autographs. So we're going to talk about heating food on Shabbos in two different ways. We're going to talk about it from a Friday afternoon perspective and from a Shabbos perspective. We're not going to cover all the topics. For example, we're not going to talk about hatmana, which means encasing. We're not going to talk about a topic that's relevant to this, but it's not exactly, which is called hagasa, which is stirring, serving. Those are, and there are others. We're going to focus primarily on two halachic topics that are referred to as shehiya. The word lahashos means to wait or to let something be. And hachazara, lachzor or lahachzir, means to return. Those are going to be our topics tonight. Any questions thus far? Okay, so we'll hold the rest until the end. I'm just kidding. But we have so many different nuances here that we're going to try to chunk it a little bit and then take questions at the end of each unit. So Friday afternoon, we're getting ready for Shabbos. Our goal is that when Shabbos arrives at any hour, and this time it's very early in the afternoon, when Shabbos arrives, we should feel that kol malachteinu asuya, all of our work is done, and that we can be at peace, which is not so easy because now, especially with the propensity for hosting and Shabbos company, there's a lot of stress that goes into the whole Shabbos situation. So we want to make sure that everything is as prepared as possible. And the Chachamim, the sages, they said to us, well, you want to make sure that everything is prepared. You don't want to be sitting on Shpilkas on Shabbos worrying what's going to happen with your food. Imagine I'm preparing Friday afternoon. I put up my chalent, which is one of my jobs in our house. I put up my chalent. In different ways, some people make the chalent on their range. Some people make it in the oven. Some people make it on a crock pot. Some people make it in a crock pot. Whatever your plan is, but you're having company for Shabbos, the Suda during the day, Shabbos lunch, you put up the chalent, you got to make sure that that crock pot is on. You got to make sure that the food is ready. You got to make sure that the temperature is at the right spot. But especially, imagine you're having company Friday night, and it's an early Shabbos, and they're going to come home from shul, and you're getting nervous. What happens if it's an early Shabbos, and you don't quite get as early a start as you wanted to? So the concern that the Chachamim had was that Friday afternoon, you know you're going to have Shabbos company knocking on your door at 5:30, and right now it's 5 o'clock, and the oven says 325, but you know that your food is not going to be ready to go the way you want to serve it if it stays at 325 for the next 40 minutes. So they were concerned. In Talmudic times, they didn't have 325, but they had an oven, and in the bottom of it were coals, and the way to expedite your cooking was to just take your poker and you would stoke the coals and that would raise the temperature in the oven. So the Chazal said, wait a second, if we just have people putting food on Friday afternoon, what we may end up with is a situation that somebody's going to be so pressured, so lachutz on Friday night that they may actually not pay attention, and maybe it's just that a matter of habit, they may take that little poker stick next to their oven and poke around. And by doing that, violate two Isurei Doraisa. One is the malacha of mavir, of burning, of causing the flame to rise, but also the malacha of mavashal, potentially, of cooking. So that is the background for the first institution that the Chachamim made, which is a restriction of Friday. Right? We don't like to think about Shabbos restrictions having to do with Friday, but it actually is. It's actually a Friday restriction, which is how to set the food Friday afternoon. When Shabbos starts, how is your food set? Well, if your food is totally cooked on Friday afternoon, then you don't have to worry that somebody's going to go and poke and stoke the coals because it's totally cooked. Make sense? Well, again, we're going to hold the questions to the end. You could put the shalot up Thursday night with some. It's very heimish to do such a thing. It's possible, especially if you're serving the shalot Friday night. You may put it up Thursday night. So as a matter of principle, if you have your food cooked totally on Friday afternoon, then you're good to go. But the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos says, well, wait a second. Let's say it's not cooked 100%. So we're worried about this concern that maybe you're going to stoke the coals. Well, what could you do to prevent that? That would either remind you not to do that, or it would be kind of a barrier that would keep you from stoking your coals. So they had what was called in those days, garuf v'katum. Ligrof means to scrape out all the coals of your oven. If you scrape down all the coals, you're not going to do anything. And what about if you took ashes and you tamped down the coals? So then when you went there, you would see that they're covered in ashes. You're not going to fool around with it.
What was the second word?
Katum. Kuf, tes, vav, mem. So those are two ways in the times of the Gemara that you would, so to speak, halachically fix your oven so that you wouldn't be worried on Shabbos. Now, there is a big machlokas in the Gemara. At what point do you require this fix? Right? We said before that if your food is totally cooked, no one's worried that you're going to get involved with your oven, and therefore you don't need the fix, we'll call it. But let's say your food is only 70% cooked. So one opinion in the Gemara is that you need the fix because you're going to want to get it cooked further. The other opinion, which is Hananya's opinion is no. As long as that is what we call machal ben drusoi, basic level of cook, that you could manage to eat it. There was a gangster in Talmudic times. His name was ben drusai, so he used to eat things on the lamb. So he would eat whatever it was, you know, it was a half-cooked hamburger, so he would eat it.
Rare.
Barely-ish, right? It was enough just to get by. So enough just to get by, then you don't need the fix. Okay, this is the Talmudic argument. And that's the underpinning. That's the logical underpinning. Well, how do we play that out in a contemporary context? I don't know anybody, at least in Chicago, who is cooking with a wood-burning oven on Friday afternoon. Right? That's not a thing. But we are cooking with either an electric or a gas range, which is going to be manipulated through usually knobs or a touch panel. Right? So what does it mean today to give your oven the fix? So there are two opinions. Rav Moshe Feinstein and other poskim, they say, well, wait a second. The original fix was in the coal, so that would be true for the heat source. So you would need to, today, cover the heat source the same way that in Talmudic times they covered the coals. So let's say, speaking about from a range standpoint, you have, let's say, a gas flame that's burning on your range. So you would take, imagine, a sheet of metal, and you would place it on top. What do we call that? A blech. So a blech, now we understand what a blech is. A blech is the modern equivalent, it's not so modern, but it's the modern equivalent of what they did in Talmudic times to fix their oven, to remind people not to play around. Other poskim said, well, wait a second, you put a piece of metal on the fire, that's not going to stop you from adjusting the flame because you don't adjust the flame from the actual fuel, you adjust the flame from the knobs. So other posts can assume, no, you know what you should do? You should take, let's say, a piece of tape or a piece of tin foil and cover your knobs. So the best thing, most preferred, is to do both. Put something on top of the what do you call it? The burners, and cover the knobs. So for some people, if they want to fulfill the most preferred, and they're going to put stuff in their oven, so the way to fix that would actually be to have a 3D blech. There is such a thing. I don't know if anybody here ever uses that such a thing, where it's basically a box that you stick into the oven, and that is covering the heat source in the oven. But I think the generally accepted opinion would not be to use that. I don't think most people use that. So now we go back and we apply. We had two opinions in the Gemara. One said that if your food is totally cooked, then you don't need the fix. But the other opinion said, as long as your food is marginally cooked, machal ben drusai, if you can barely eat it, then you don't need the fix. So today, how does that play out? So on Friday afternoon, ideally, if you're going to leave food in the oven going into Shabbos, so according to many, the ideal thing is to make sure that it's totally cooked. And if it's totally cooked, especially if it's what we call ma'akal, that it's a mevushal cold circle, it's totally cooked, then it's mitstamek viralo. If it cooks too much, it's going to get worse. So then you don't need any fix. So before Shabbos would start, you would make sure that all of your food is totally cooked. Fully cooked, maxed out, you don't have to worry. Most preferred, if your food is not fully cooked, would be to cover the flame and the knobs. But if not, we can rely on the opinion of Chananya, the second opinion, that says, as long as your food is, let's say, half cooked, it's 50% of the way there, you don't need to fix your oven. Okay? When will you need to fix the oven? And this happens sometimes. When your food is not even, and there's a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether this bottom threshold is one third or one half cooked, but if you're not even one half cooked, let's say you put up the challenge, but you only put it up, I don't know, like an hour before Shabbos. You really can't get going in an hour, even on high. I don't think it's even a third cooked. Well, in that case, you are going to require me'ikar hadin to do the fix, grufo k'tuma. So l'chatchila, what that would look like, let's say if you're using a crock pot, would be to take, let's say, for argument's sake, aluminum foil, line all of the walls on the bottom, because that's going to be your heat source, and take a little piece of tinfoil and place it, you know, tape it over the knobs. There's one exception to this, which is what we call a kedera chaisa. The Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if you have the following? You're going to eat Friday night, you're going to eat this chalent, or you're going to eat this chicken. What happens if a second before Shabbos, you take a totally raw piece of meat and you stick it in there? So that, the Gemara says, solves your problem. Why do you think that if you have a raw dish, if you have a dish which is raw, you don't need to fix the oven or the range? Why would that be? What's that?
You're not going to eat it. It's not going to be ready.
Because there's no chance that it's going to be ready by tonight. And by tomorrow, if you're talking about cooking for lunch, you're not going to start stoking the coals on Friday night for something that's going to be 12 hours later. So this is one more like trick that you can do. If you want your chalent and you don't want to deal with fixing the oven or fixing the crock pot, you can take a totally raw piece of meat and stick it in there right before Shabbos. If it's completely...
What does the oven look like for us if we don't have a hot pot?
So it would be, according to the other opinion, it would be taking a piece of tape and covering the knobs. That would be fixing the oven. But for those who would follow that opinion, that covering the knobs is sufficient. I think most people assume, even if it's not sufficient, they're relying on the opinion that says that if you're half cooked, you don't need to fix the oven. So therefore, they don't require the blech in the first place. Okay? This is for Friday night. Any other questions, comments, or observations? Yeah. Yeah, right before, when it's going to be raw, when Shabbos starts, right? If you put it in even 15 minutes before, right, then a half hour before, usually, or 5 minutes, whatever it is, it's going to be totally raw right before you accept Shabbos.
And that's not considered cooking at Shabbos. It's okay because you started it
right
before.
So anytime, we assume, anytime you do the action before Shabbos, you are not considered to be in violation. It's impossible to violate a malach of Shabbos b'sheif al taseh, passively. Yeah, Malacha.
So the whole idea of lining the crock pot is only really if you put up the chillum too late to be cooked. But if it's really cooked 3/4 or more before Shabbos, then
strictly
you don't
speaking,
need to do that?
That's correct.
I think people have a misunderstanding about it, totally. So the idea that I'm getting from I see so many people doing is I see everybody's crock pot lines and everybody's candles, you know,
right,
knobs.
Right.
And I'm honestly never used to do that. And I realize, I mean, thank goodness I always put my chillin up early in the morning anyway, but I never like And all of a sudden, I just started doing it. But now I realize I can take out the aluminum foil.
So why are the people doing that? So why are they doing that?
Right, okay.
They're doing that because they say, wait a second, this challenge, it's not 100% cooked when Shabbos starts. So they want to fulfill the opinion of fixing the heating element according to the more stringent opinion, who says that until it's fully cooked and maxed out, you should still fix it. Which is why the people are still foiling the crock pot, even though technically they don't need to. The Ramah says, for Ashkenazim, you don't need to foil the crock pot if you put it up in the morning. But there are many people who say, okay, but I want to fulfill the stringent opinion, and they say until that challenge is totally cooked, they're going to foil the crock pot. And that's, I think, why people are doing it.
But don't you also,
and that's,
don't you also need it in case, let's say, you want to have some challenge Friday night?
Okay, that's a further, yes, that's a further consideration, but that theoretically you could foil it Friday night if you were going to take it out and put it back, which we'll get to in a little bit. But that's why we're going to see there's so many diverse practices, because different people are pursuing different paths. Right, some people, you're not going to see them cover the knobs because that's not their tradition. And other people, you'll find, they're going to use this 3D blech that you're like, I never heard of that. Where did that come from? Well, this is where it came from. It came
like
from,
liner,
it's kind of like a liner, exactly.
Insert.
An insert, exactly. All right, any other questions, comments, or observations about Friday night? Yeah.
No, just in your notes.
Yeah.
MP says it means most preferable.
MP is most preferable. IN, in need. No, in case of need, if you're not going to be, you know, machmer for that opinion. So this is exactly the case that you mentioned before. It's case number two, barely edible to fully cooked. It's somewhere in between. It's much more than barely edible, but it's not fully cooked. So most preferred would be, some people would say, fulfill the Shulchan Aruch's opinion, the more stringent opinion, and foil it. And others would say, in case of need, no, you don't have to foil it. Yeah. An hour, whatever, automatic shut off.
So you can't really take that. I guess you could cover it with foil.
Right, cover it with a piece of foil.
But what about opening the oven door before the time has shut off? So the oven is still on.
Okay.
So it's,
are you talking about Friday night opening the door? Okay, we'll get to that in a second. This is all before Shabbos. So far, we haven't even lit candles yet. But that's the chiddush of this gzeira, is that you have to be mindful before Shabbos what the experience of Shabbos is going to be like. Okay? That's what is unique about this halacha, is that it's a Shabbos consideration before Shabbos. All right, let's talk about on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, when we're dealing with heating food, we have our original consideration of Shema, the word Shema, Shin Mem Aleph, in the notes, Shema, Yechata, maybe the person will stoke the coals. Yechata, Lachtos, means to stoke the coals. That's one possibility. But we have two other considerations, major ones. The first one is the Malacha of Bishul. One of the 39 categories of work is cooking. So if you have a food item that is not fully cooked yet, and you heat it up on Shabbos, you are in violation of a very serious Easter. You're in violation of the actual biblical malacha of Bishul. So we have to figure that out to make sure that when we're heating food on Shabbos morning, when we're getting ready to eat the Suda Shnia, we're getting ready to eat lunch, that we're not cooking. That's the first, you know, you can't get the first base without that. So that there's no cooking, there's no concern about Shemi Echata, and then there's a third consideration, which is on Shabbos. If somebody comes into my kitchen and they see me puttering around and putting stuff in and out of my oven, they would say, wait a minute. That is what we call in Aramaic terminology, mechazi, it looks like kimavashel, like you're cooking. You might not be cooking at all, but if they see you doing that, people might think, oh, that looks like cooking. And so the Rabbanan gave a new injunction against doing things that look like cooking. So imagine if I went to my fridge, I pulled something out of the fridge, I stuck it in my oven, even if for other considerations, maybe you wouldn't have to worry that it's cooked, it's totally cooked, you don't have to worry about that, but you might have to worry about, it looks like cooking. Isn't that what happens on Thursday? I take something from the fridge and I stick it in the oven. So these are the three considerations we need to think about when we talk about Shabbos heating. Let's start with the first one, Bishul. So we have to make sure anytime you're heating anything on Shabbos, it is totally cooked. That's number one. If it's totally cooked, then you can't cook it any further. We have a principle called Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. I have a piece of schnitzel. Once that thing was shechted and fried, it's over. You know, you might fry it more and kill it, but once it's done, it's done. Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. However, we then have a debate. Does this principle of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol apply across the board? And the generally accepted opinion, like for Ashkenazim, is that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, that applies to things that are dry. But if you have soup, soup doesn't taste the same when it's cold than when it's hot. So I had hot soup, then it cooled off, I put it in the fridge. When I take it out, by heating it up, now it tastes different. There is a contribution that you are investing in the soup when you heat it up. So even though Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, there is no violation of cooking after you cooked it once, but there is Bishol Achar Bishol to take chicken soup out of the fridge and boil it up again. So the second thing we have to make sure is that what we are heating on Shabbos is dry. Now, the post can point out that if you have a tiny little bit of liquid, you know, at the bottom of the pan, that's not something you have to worry about. But if you have a greasy, you know, certainly a sauce-based chicken, so you're going to have to worry about heating that up on Shabbos, because yesh bishol achar bishol b'davar lach, when it's nitzan in legamri, when it was totally cooled off, you took it out of the fridge, then you can't, even if you have the best other mechanism to set the halachic situation, it's not going to help you, because that's a problem of bishol itself. Okay, so that's the first hurdle. You have to make sure that we're not cooking. So we take something that's dry, and we have to worry, wait a second, is this going to be a problem of Shema Yechate? Well, let's say my oven is fixed. My oven is fixed already. It has a covering on it, like it has the tinfoil on top of it. Let's assume we're talking about a range. So it has a piece of sheet metal, and then it has the fold over in the front, so it's covering the knobs or the panel. So it's not going to look necessarily, it's not going to look like I might stir it, but if you're just covering it with a sheet, doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't look like cooking. Just covering the actual flame doesn't take away the merzi kemavashel problem. So it would be a problem to, for the moment, let's just, again, theoretically, to take a piece of dry food item, a piece of schnitzel from the fridge, and put it directly on a blech. Because the blech only takes away, at least nominally, the problem of maybe you're going to stir, but it doesn't take away the fact that it looks like cooking because you put it right on the flame even though there's a blech there. So the Chachamim came up with one frame, and that's what we could call in the vernacular, keep the cooking going. If you have food on the fire, let's say you have your chalent up and it's sitting on the blech from Friday night and it's still there Shabbos morning, does that look like cooking? No, it's just sitting there. But if you do one of these special magic tricks where you pull it off and you put it right back, is that much of anything, or is that not a consequential action? You just, it's okay, put it right back. Does it look like cooking? Did you pull it out of the fridge? No, it was sitting there. You just did a little quick magic trick. So we have this principle that says, if you keep the cooking going, that's going to be okay. Because it's not going to look like cooking if you're in the middle of the process. So what are the conditions for that? So the halacha and the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, they identify that the fire has to be covered. Of course, that's number one. But we have Oda Biyodo Daito Lahachzir. Two major ones. You have to still be holding on to it. So I pull it off. Many of you are familiar with this idea. And I have in mind to put it right back on. Now, it doesn't mean I have to hold it in the air like a trapeze artist. I could put it on the counter and still hold on to it as long as I'm still holding on to it. Oda Biyodo Daito Lahachzir and Al Gabav. It's got to be on top of the range. Oda Biyodo, still in your hand. Oda Biyodo, still in your hand. And Daito, your mind is to put it back on. And it's got to be Al Gabo, on top of the range, not inside. Because inside looks more like cooking, according to at least the Ran. Okay? Now, some of you are aware there is a very interesting leniency that comes from the Chidushi Haran, Masechet Shabbos. There's a big debate among poskim about whether or not this is to be relied on or not, but there is such a thing, and that's why if you see somebody doing this, you shouldn't be surprised. The Ran's opinion is that if on Shabbos the item was on the fire, even if you took it off and put it in the fridge, it's always considered to be freeze-framed from the beginning of Shabbos. And so you're kind of continuing from keeping that food on the oven. So that is a very...
Wait, you're saying as long as it was on the glove at the beginning of Shabbos?
Correct.
So, like, technically, you could put... Is that only for a double lach or no?
Remember, on Shabbos, nothing lach.
Oh, okay.
Lach is out the window.
Fine.
Only Yavish.
Only Yavish.
But Yavish, according to this Ron, could come from the fridge. Because it went in the fridge Friday night after it was on the blech. So that shita, it's not the most ideal to rely on that opinion, but you may find somebody, you may see somebody who's pulling food out of their oven, out of their fridge on Shabbos morning, and you don't know why are they pulling the fridge food on Shabbos morning and putting it on top of a blech. The answer is because they're relying on the Ran, who says that as long as it's on the oven when Shabbos started, then putting it back with the blech is sufficient on Shabbos day. Okay.
There's something on the blech, not just...
What's that?
Not straight on the blech.
Yeah. On the blech. On the blech.
In a pot, she's wrapped up.
Yeah.
No, you took... This is... Remember, also, some of us are yeshiva bachrim. We put schnitzel on the blech. On the blech. That's not a problem. I mean, we cook with irons, with all kinds of things. You have to be open-minded about how, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be creative.
Does the Ron say even if it's cold? It
yeah, it's totally cold.
Yeah.
It's totally cold. So it's not only Gomri.
Apply it to warming drawers also?
We're going to get to warming drawers in a little bit, but it would be related to warming drawers. Okay, that's number one. Keep the cooking going. Let's say you're not going to keep the cooking going. It's going to be coming out of the fridge. So one option is we have something called Yad Soled Espo, the threshold of heat. In halacha is, it's hard to know exactly how hot it is. It's something between 117 or 160. It's like in that range. So if you have something that's less than 120 degrees, which is very uncommon just because, let's say in an oven, they don't usually have ovens that set to less than 120, but in a warming drawer, they do have one setting. I forget what it's called. It starts with a P. I forget what it is. There's one setting that I believe is less than 120. But if you had something that's less than 120 degrees, then you wouldn't have to worry because it's not cooking at all. But that's not so common. Another point number three here on the outline. I think they do. Yeah, they actually get very hot. Sometimes you can burn stuff on them. 120 degrees is very, very low. 120 degrees is very low.
I think the low setting on the one I
have. The low setting on what? On the warming drawer or the?
No.
On the plata? Is how hot?
We read it. It was less than the low setting was one. I don't remember the exact. But
I called GE today, and they said that the low setting on the warming drawer that we have is between 140 and 160.
Oh, that's,
the low setting. But I guess it depends on each appliance.
But when my husband and Just looked it up, they said it was 180, less than 180.
So there is a very big range of how to determine what is Yad Soled Espo, that your hand gets burned by it. So depending on which side of the equation you are, sometimes we're machmir as low as 120 or 117, but we could be as machmir in the other direction as 160 or 180. So it depends on what the shaila is, whether or not, if you're Safik Daraisa, you're going to be machmir in both directions, on the low end and on the high end. Another option, number three, I don't know if this is so common anymore, but when we lived in the Heights, this was a very good shtick. The radiator. Right? The radiator in the Heights apartments, that thing gets to like 250 degrees. And there's no merci kemavashel. No one cooks on a radiator. So it's het or gomer to take the schnitzel right out of the thing. And especially if you're still in the single guy's apartments, you just take the schnitzel onto the radiator and you have no problems. It's mamash lechatchila. And if you're very finicky, you put in a piece of tinfoil. But that's also, that's a great etza if you're, I don't know, if you're very Hamish, you're like sleeping in Hebron for Shabbos and all you have is a radiator or something like that. All right, that's not so common. But the next option does come up, and that's called samuch. Yeah.
Could that apply then to the top of the hot water pot?
We're going to get to the top of the hot water pot. That's a little bit different because the hot water pot is it's basically a self-contained range and chinuk, and water container, because there's a range element at the bottom, and then there's hot water on top. So it's not the same as a radiator. A radiator is just a...
Even though the radiator is water heat something?
Yes, that's true, but it's coming from a burner. It's totally not a cooking appliance, at least traditionally. It's not a traditional cooking appliance.
It's circulating differently than a china.
That also true, yes.
I grew up in an apartment building. I know about these.
Yes. Ah, they're very good. Okay, the next thing also comes up, but not so common, is called samuch. You have an oven, and the oven is throwing off a lot of heat, so you put the item next to the oven. So that's also no problem, because it's not actually on the oven. So that comes up on occasion. Let's say you have one burner that's hot. You're not going to put it directly on that burner. You're going to put it right next to it, and maybe you'll get some residual heat. But it's not so great, because it doesn't really... It'll, like, take it off a little bit, but that's not so great. This, what you're alluding to, is the next item, which is on the full pot. There is a comment in the Shulchan Aruch, which is... It's a debate among Acharonim. What happens if you have a pot full of food, and you take your food, which is totally cooked, and it's dry, and you want to put your piece of schnitzel on top of a full cholent pot, or a chinik? So Shulchan Aruch says that's fine. So why is that fine? Because there's no mechzi kemevashel. Nobody in their right mind ever puts a piece of schnitzel on top of a cholent pot. You can't cook like that. That's not mechzi kemevashel. It doesn't look like cooking at all. So in that case, because there's no Shema Yechate, because there's a pot on top of the fire, you're not going to stir the coals, and it doesn't look like cooking at all, you could take cold food from the fridge with no problem and put it on top of a full cholent pot or a water heater or anything like that that has food in it. There is even a more lenient opinion that says, yeah, it's true that a full pot is for sure good, and only a blech, only if the fire is covered, that's no good. But what if you take a pot, an empty pot? There are those lenient opinions. Rav Ovadia quotes a bunch of Achronim in Yechuv and Yechav Adas. So you will see people who will take a pot, an empty pot, and put it on an open flame, and they will put food into that, like food in a pot, onto the pot. They can put it directly, because then that's putting the food onto the thing. But even if it's not a full pot, that's the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that as much, but there are Achronim who find that as well. And now you're going to find the middle Kneich, which is going to be the following. It's going to be the blech with an overturned pot, and then you put your pot on that. Why is that? What's the logic for that? If you have just a blech, it's no good. Why? Because it's mechzi kemevashel. It looks like you're cooking. If you have a full pot, it doesn't look like cooking. So this approach among some poskim is that if you have a blech, that's not okay. But you take a pot and you put it upside down on top of your blech. Does anybody cook on a pot upside down on top of a blech?
No.
And that's the rationale for people who take a pan of schnitzel and they put it on the upside down pot over the blech. Okay? Now, in this realm is what they call, there's something, I think it's called the Kedera Blech. You've heard about this?
Yeah.
What's the logic of the Kedera Blech? How does it work? There's a heating element on the bottom. Then it's covered by a piece of sheet metal. So that's a traditional blech. You can't put food on that. But they fill the Kedera Blech with water. So now you have a covered heating element and a full pot, so to speak, of water. So some poskim say that's the equivalent of taking my schnitzel or my dessert that I want to heat up, my molten chocolate cake for dessert, and putting on top of the chinik, on top of the hot water urn, because this is just a fancy version of a hot water urn. Others don't like this because they say, well, that's it doesn't look like a hot water urn. It looks like a pot. I don't know. Yeah.
Is there like this that the overturned pan has to, like, does it have to be a certain distance from the heating?
Not that I'm aware of. Because it's the conceptual point of that you have a covered fire and now you're putting this overturned pot, which nobody would cook on that. It could be like a very thin one or it could be thicker, but it's the structure of it is so unusual. Now, you'll find people who do not rely on that because they say, it says in the Shulchan Aruch a pot, and this quotes from the Prima Gaudim that it's got to be a full pot. But this is to understand why it is there are so many different things that people are doing, because they're trying to address these issues. They're trying to address to make sure that there's no Shema Yachata, that you're not going to stoke the coals, and they're trying to make sure that it doesn't look like cooking. So different poskim have different permutations of how to accomplish that goal. Yes?
Is there an issue of how hot the bottom layer of the plata?
No. Yad soledes, that's hot. Hot is hot. More hot, less hot, doesn't matter. Once you're over 100, let's say, you know, yeah, probably on the cooler side, 160, 180, but on the machmer side, 120 or 117, once you're over 117, it doesn't really matter. It could be burning hot. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if your flame at the bottom is super high or tiny. It doesn't matter. You need the same conceptual framework of dealing with maybe they're going to stoke the coals and that it shouldn't look like cooking.
So then we don't have to worry about Yad Soledes in that sense?
No, no, no. Once you're at Yad Soledes, Bo, you are always worrying.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if it's really, really hot or not so hot. If the food that you're putting on there can get to Yad Soledes, you're worried. Yeah.
If you put your food wrapped up as aluminum foil and you put it on the bluff but far away from the burners, that's no good unless you're...
So that would be samuch. That would be... Now, if it's totally wrapped in foil, that might be a separate problem of hatmana, which we're not talking about tonight. But if it's not on the burner, if it's only next to the burner, that would be fine. Yeah, last call. Then
I'm a little bit confused about...
I'm also confused. We're trying. We're trying.
The middle thing about hot, so you take an empty pot, you put it on the blech. And then you put your cooked food that's not wrapped or anything inside the pot.
Not inside the pot, on top of it.
You turn the pot.
Yeah, you take an aluminum foil, turn it upside down.
Okay, that I got. Okay, got it.
Got it? The food can't get to Yad Soledes, Bo. Yeah.
The food
can't get to 120 degrees, 117 degrees.
Okay.
Right.
So, but the lamp itself might actually be hotter as long as you don't leave the food on.
In a place where it could get to.
No.
Not long enough. In a place where it could get to, if you left it there for 3 weeks, would any part of that food ever get to 120 or 117? Right? So then you have to be concerned. Now, if you made a Rube Goldberg that it would never get to, you know, 117, okay.
A what?
Rube Goldberg. That's we have enough problems. We have enough problems. We don't need that. The hot plate, right?
Well, you're saying then that it can't be right on top of underneath where the flame is underneath.
What I'm saying is that if it's not on top of the flame, it's next to the flame,
right,
then it's not subject to this gzeira. It's called samuch.
It's getting too hot if it's right over the flame. If you put it upside down,
I'm not 100% understanding the question. But you know what? Let's hold it because we got to keep going. We're running close to time. The hot plate. So here's a great invention. Somebody, electric. You plug it in. So what's the story with putting something on an electric hot plate?
Sometimes the light goes on.
All right. Make sure all your lights are off. What's the story with putting food on a hot plate? So if you are requiring that when you put food onto a heat source, it be full with food, then a hot plate's not going to help you because the hot plate doesn't have food on it. Right? We said before that before the upside down pan situation was the full pot. If you are not following the upside down pot and you only need the full pot, the chalan pot, if the only way you're heating up food is by putting food on top of a chalan pot, then theoretically putting food on a hot plate will not help you. But it does.
Why?
Ah, good question. So what do you think is the answer? Let's go back. What are the two conceptual issues? You have to worry about Shema Yachata. You might raise the temperature. And Mechsi Kemevashal. So many poskim say, wait a second. When was the last time you ever made dinner on a hot plate? So many poskim point out, this is a debate about whether or not you can cook on a hot plate or you do cook on a hot plate. But,
did you ever cook on a blech?
What's that?
Do people cook on a blech?
No, they don't. But the blech conceptually is looked at as just a covering on your on your stove. So theoretically, if somebody wasn't looking carefully, and that was my kitchen, and I was over here, and they were at the stove, it would look normal. They wouldn't necessarily see there's a little sheet of metal. It would look normal to cook on the stove. But if you have on your countertop that rectangular hot plate, does anybody ever cook on a hot plate? Even yeshiva guys don't usually.
Put hot plates, though, on their stove.
Yeah, okay, but that's just a practical matter. That's a practical matter. It's just a place to put it. What's that? Again, you have to look at it conceptually, which is that there is no flame in an oven. Again, the blech is not, you can't divorce the blech from the range. You cook on a range.
If you're putting the hot plate on top of your range,
but it's not. It's not the same thing. Because in one case, you're cooking with the fire of the range, which is your cooking, normal cooking way. The other way is you're cooking on a hot plate, and by definition, many posts can point out, which is why I suspect many people in this room are lenient, to put food directly on a hot plate. Because they say, wait a second, a hot plate is not mechzik mevashel, doesn't look like cooking. And then, especially, the best thing to do, if you have an adjustable hot plate, you know what you do? You take the adjustable knob, and you rip it off! And now you have no problem of you're going to raise or lower the thing.
No Yatzel at all.
Why not?
No, I'm asking.
Oh, you will. It'll be more than Yatzel, but it's going to be very hot. But it's going to be... So here is the story with the hot plate. The most lenient approach says, wait a second. If you have a non-adjustable hot plate, they say, you're good to go. You could put cold food from the fridge on your non-adjustable hot plate. No problem.
My hot plate is burns food.
All right, so I'm sorry for the hot plate. You know what? Oh, so then you want to be more... I'm just saying, again, halachically, I'm not talking about what kind of hot plate you have. Halachically, many poskim will say you could take food from the fridge, put it straight on the hot plate, period.
Even if it gets...
Of course, it's getting hot. It's burning hot, the hot plate. How are you doing that? Because... Everything we're talking, it's getting more than Yatzel lettuce bowl.
It's just like if it's
natural
cooking.
Right. Ain bishalach habishal. Everything we're talking about is going to get yatzel lettuce. Everything is getting yatzel lettuce. You want it to be yatzel lettuce. You want it to be hot. Right? You want it to be hot. The question is, how can you heat the food on Shabbos? So the simplest way is to take the food and put it on top of the challah pot. The problem is sometimes that's a balancing act, and sometimes that's not enough space, or it doesn't get in hot enough, and it's not good enough. So some would say, great, get a hot plate. So does the hot plate help? So some poskim will say the hot plate solves all your problems, because you don't usually cook on a hot plate, so it's not mechzik mevashel, and it's not adjustable. That's one approach.
What do you do with the knobs?
Like I said, you either rip them off or you don't have knobs. One second. Oh, so now we say, well, what if you have, one second. What if you have an adjustable hot plate that you're not interested in ripping off the knob, or it's adjustable? So what are you going to do to make sure to fix that problem? So you can use your foil to cover the heat source and the knobs. So now you have solved the Shema Yechata problem. And many would say, if it's not, it doesn't look like cooking because you would never cook on there, you could put it directly on. The third, now you've gone from most lenient to medium grade machmir, the more machmir opinion that says, well, I don't really care that people don't cook on a hot plate because you could cook on a hot plate. So then what would you do? You would cover the hot plate, cover the knobs, put your upside down pot, and then you put it on there. So these are three different ways that you will find. So you will walk into people's kitchens on Shabbos morning, and you might find three totally different hot plates. You're going to find just straight up hot plates. You're going to find hot plates that are covered, and you're going to find hot plates with upside down plates. Beseder? Got it. Next. Last item. Warming drawers. So let's go back to our age-old chakira. So a warming drawer is a drawer in the wall oven, I think, or in the bottom of the standing oven that you pull out, you put food in, and you put it back in. I spent some quality time today talking to the GE service rep, who I had a hard time communicating with, so I convinced them to let me speak to the supervisor, who was much more adept at explaining to me. I'm not saying. I'm just saying it was easier for me to understand what the person was saying. A warming drawer, according to what I understand from the manufacturer, a warming drawer is essentially the same mechanism as a regular oven. It's just much lower temperature. There's a heating element. That heating element is covered, but that covering is the normal way of cooking, so that doesn't... What's that? It's on the top. It also makes a very bad bang when the metal constricts and whatever. That's just a Matthias problem. It heats up. It has a tiny little thermostat, and the thermostat has a very intelligent mechanism that says, let's say you're on low setting between 140 and 160. When the thing gets to 160, the little thermostat guy says, stop the element. It's very much like your regular oven, the way that it works. Okay. So, Shema Yechate, do you have to be worried about maybe adjusting it? So that's the first thing you're going to have to figure out. So you may need for your warming drawer a blech, meaning line it with foil. That's one option that some people do. Or ripping out the knob, my favorite. I'm not sure if...
They're electric panels.
Ours has a knob or had a knob. And I'm not taking any responsibility. I'm not taking any responsibility for anyone losing their warranty from their appliances. I don't speak for GE. I'm just saying. So the first thing you're worried about is the adjustable situation. So one piece of it is the blech for the actual heating element. Then there's the question, well, you can't see the blech on the outside, so some posts can say that the aluminum foil has to come out of the warming drawer in front, which is very appealing looking. You gotta wait, I'm sorry. The second issue is the merci kimavashel problem. Does it look like cooking? So this is a tough call, because if you assume that people don't cook, they don't normally cook on a hot plate, and then that would be permitted. So people don't normally cook in a warming drawer. Oh, there is a knach, though, because we said at the beginning that all of this, when we're talking about putting food on, we're talking about putting it on top, not inside. So how can you put it inside? So Rabbi Willig, in the Sefer Amorachai, points out that the Ran, his concern about putting it inside, because when it goes inside, it looks like cooking. But if what you're putting it into, you never cooked it in the first place, so then that too would not be a problem of merci kimavashel. So you will find some people who will put a warming drawer in their kitchen. They will make sure either that it's not adjustable, they will put a blech on it, or they will rip out the knobs, and then they will put food in and out on Shabbos. You will find others who will say, wait a second, no. Even though you don't usually cook, but you could cook theoretically in there, and the tocho, the inside problem, is still a problem. And then you will have a third issue, and this is going to bring us to our last point, which maybe we haven't thought about. We talked about putting food in on Friday afternoon, putting food on Shabbos day. Until now, we've not put anything in the oven. Once the oven is done for Friday night, we're not putting anything in at all on Shabbos because it's going to be Mexican Mavasha. It looks like cooking when you put it in. But here's the knesh with the warming drawers. And this is an argument among the poskim. And it's actually going to bring us back to Friday night. What happens when I open the warming drawer? The heat goes out and the air comes in. So my little thermostat friend in there is saying, it's cold. Turn on the heat. No. So here we go. What happens now when I open the door of the warming drawer, I put my food in, and I close it? Now I am telling the little thermostat dude in there, hey, you need to kick on the element. So this is why Rabbi Heineman and the Star K is opposed to using warming drawers on Shabbos. Not necessarily because Shema Yechate, and not because of Mechzik and Mevashel. They're worried about the kicking on. Excellent. So that's what Rabbi Willig points out. Rabbi Willig points out that he thinks that warming drawers are the same as refrigerators. However, they're not exactly the same. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadok V'Kadosh Levracha, has a very lengthy tshuva in Minchas Shlomo about refrigerators. There are some poskim, by the way, who think you cannot open the refrigerator door until the compressor is running.
Well, it's the same thing that Chana asked at the very beginning. That's on Friday.
Oh, so that's what we're going to come back to it right now. So, however, it's not exactly the same, because in the case of the fridge, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out in the tshuva that the iser that you might violate is an iser derabanan. And when it comes to the heating element, that might be an iser doraisa. So Rabbi Heineman points out, he thinks that you cannot use the warming drawers on Shabbos to open and close the door. And this brings us right back to Friday night, because Rabbi Heineman, who is the Rabbi Machshir of the Star K with the kosher ovens and the Shabbos mode, points out something that is very interesting. When I open my oven door, what happens? I let cold air in the oven. So when I close the oven door, I am telling the oven, kick on the gas. So if the oven is empty when I close the door, do I care that the oven turns on now?
No.
Totally not. I don't care that the oven heats up. There's nothing in there. There's nothing going to be going in there. So Rabbi Heineman suggests, he says that on Friday night, when if your oven is on, Shabbos mode or not Shabbos mode, I guess it depends how it's set up, when you open the door, you take out all of your food. Because if you close the door when the food is still in there, let's say you left dessert in the oven and you took out the main, when you close the door, you are now asking the thermostat to keep that food hot at a higher temperature. The other poskim would say, no, because it's not direct, it's a grumma. I don't know at what point my oven is cycling right now. Obviously, if your oven is cycling on, then that's good. Exactly.
That loud boom,
that's right.
You know that it's shutting off the thermostat.
Then. Is it? Because I went to the warming drawer today, and I went like this. It was like, can you tell me when you're on? I turned the thing on, and I couldn't.
That it boomed then.
Yeah, but that boom, what does that indicate?
Because it's the metal of the warming drawer with the
yes.
element. It's the heat that it's...
It's expanding. It. So we have to figure out whether that... But by the way, not too many people want to stand next to the thing waiting for that scary boom. You know what I mean? Like, that could kill someone. I know. But what are you going to do? You're going to run downstairs. Like, so, yes, that would be, according to Rabbi Heineman, if you could figure out... So I tried to turn on the warming drawer and listen to hear if I could figure out when the thing is cycling. It's electric. It's electric, so it's very quiet. So I don't know. But that is... The last wrinkle here, which is that if you assume, yeah, now it doesn't have a light. Yeah.
Certifies all these certain warming drawers.
Yes. However, here's the thing. I will read it to you. Ah, exactly. So that's where Rabbi Heineman points out. Where is my? I printed it out. May I use my warming drawer on Shabbos in the Star K? They point out, according to Rabbi Heineman, as discussed earlier, one may not put food into a warming drawer on Shabbos. The ovens.
Wait, on Shabbos or before?
Again, on Shabbos.
So before Shabbos you could put it in?
According to Rabbi Heineman, who's worried about the issue of the thermostat tripping, so you cannot put it in on Shabbos. The same thing that he points out, that you have to make sure your oven light doesn't kick on automatically when you open the door, the chule, etc. But, he says, in the case of convection ovens, open the door may cause the circulating fan to go off, okay, but that's not the issue. The issue is that you can remove the food on Shabbos, provided that all the food is removed at that time. Why? Because when you close the door, you have this grumma, this unintended consequence, which we have a principle in Hilchos Shabbos that grumma, me'ikar adin, grumma is permitted, but it's only b'makom hefsid meruba. You're allowed to cause a malacha to happen indirectly only in the case of great need, like in the case, God forbid, of a fire, which is what the Ramah is quoting from the Mordechai. So, as a matter of practicality, Shabbos mode ovens do not mean you can put anything into the oven on Shabbos. No. And number two, depending on how the Sabbath mode, you have to check with your exact oven, but even if Sabbath mode means that the dials don't move, but if your thermostat is still alive and it's still operative, you still cannot take out the food, according to Rabbi Heinemann, who's machshir the Shabbos mode ovens. The Star Cave was the first ones with the Shabbos mode ovens. When you take out the food, according to Rabbi Heinemann, you have to take out all the food, because this is a new concern that actually the oven is going to start kicking on. So to summarize, then we'll take the last questions, because we're just out of time. We started with Friday afternoon, preparing the food, making sure that our oven is quote-unquote fixed. If your oven is fixed, then you're good to go to leave the food in. Even if your oven is not fixed, if the food is at least marginally cooked, and certainly best if it's fully cooked, then you don't have to worry. Putting the food onto the fire on Shabbos is much more complicated, because you introduce this higher concern of maybe it's going to look like cooking. So either you're going to continue the cooking, it was there before, and you're going to continue it going. There is that Ron. We're not going to rely on that lechatchila, but we talked about, let's say, the most common ways are putting things either on a full pot, like on a chalent pot or on a chaynik, or according to those who are lenient about the electric hot plate, which you don't normally cook on, but even if you were concerned about that, you put the upside down pot, so that also makes it look like it's not shemei echate. And then the issue with the warming drawer brings up this new consideration, which I'm glad you're still awake by now, because this next brings us back to Friday night. Because even if we made sure that all of our food is fully cooked and we didn't need to fix the oven, Rabbi Heinemann would say, not every posik agrees with this, but Rabbi Heinemann would say, yeah, when you open the door of the oven Friday night, if the oven is still on, you got to take all the food out, because by closing the door, you are inadvertently, unintentionally, also setting up the oven to kick back on.
And then you're cooking it, whatever's in there?
No, it's not about cooking. It's that you are violating the malach of Havara, of you're causing the filament to run. Yes. Oh, Havara should be Havara, except it's what we call Dover Esheina Miskavin. It's unintended consequence. Psik Resh, it's going to happen, but Lo Nichale, you don't care. So the Gemara says there are two different kinds of unintended consequences. So the refrigerator, that's part of it is that it's not immediate. Part of that, Rav Shlomo Zalman in that Shuva is arguing that it's a lo nichale. I didn't really want in the first place the temperature to drop, and then in the case of the temperature in the refrigerator, for the temperature to rise. So that's exactly part of the issue, is that it's lo nichale. So the question is, how much can you rely on that lo nichale? So in the case of the refrigerator, we're much more lenient, because maximum is it's only derabanan. But in the oven, some people are more machmir, because it's a potential isa daraisa. Yeah. Great.
You don't have to worry about opening and closing.
Great.
So
yeah.
Why would someone put it in Shabbos mode and leave it on?
For a certain amount of time.
Right.
No, but you have it go off when you're about to eat the meal.
Right. Or it depends, let's say, not everybody knows exactly when they're going to serve, they want it to be very hot, but in a Hanami, this suggestion of making sure that the oven is off before you take it out, that's the best eitzah. For sure, that's the best eitzah. That's the best eitzah.
Even if it's hot inside the oven.
Even if the oven is hot, but it's not on, so you don't have to worry, it could be burning hot inside the oven. Yeah, last question.
Okay, so if you have a 3-day yontif.
Three day yontif. Yeah, what are you going to do? Yes.
And the last day of yontif is Shabbos.
Okay.
So you still have your oven on. You put in food before Shabbos started. If the flame is on, and this doesn't work on an electric oven, but if the flame is on, can you open the oven door and take all your food out? Because you're not going to cause the flame to go on, it'll stay on.
So that for sure you can do, even if the flame is off, we paskin that...
But opening the door will make the flame come on, because you're letting...
Oh, so Rabbi Heinemann would say, but if you take all the food out, the fact that it's going to kick on doesn't matter. Other poskim would say, potentially, even if you still have some food in there, because you're not doing it directly, at some point the thermometer is going to register that, then it's going to be, you know, it's maybe it's a psik resha, but it's a grumma, and it's a grumma with a psik resha. Question is, maybe it's lo nichle, maybe you don't really care for it to heat up, you didn't want it to cool down in the first place. So that's where there is some argument. So my goal tonight, and we're going to call it here, we could spend the whole month. My goal tonight is for us to understand the range of issues and therefore the range of opinions. Now that we understand what the underpinning assumptions are around the issues of heating food on Shabbos, you can understand why you might go into somebody's kitchen and they are wall-to-wall like Reynolds wrap. They are just, it's all tinfoil all the time. Like everything is covered in foil pans. And that's okay. And you should not walk in there and say, wow, those people are totally ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Or they only open their refrigerator when the compressor is on. There's a muckum for that. There are shitas like that. But at the same time, you might come into somebody's kitchen and you see them take cold food out of the fridge and put it straight on a blech. There's also a muckum for that. So the more that we learn, the more that we realize the different approaches that exist. Thank you all for coming. Emir Tzashem.